Called HCC Audit Committee meeting to order and note the presence of a quorum. First item is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on January 28th, 2025.
I move.
Second. All in favor? Any opposed? There being none, motion carries. Kathy, you go over the agenda items.
Thanks, Harry. We have a fairly routine agenda today. Chuck will be presenting the first quarter financials from fiscal 25. He's remote today, as it's a little under the weather. And then Ellen will be followed by the debt report and investment report. And then Tricia is subbing for Mary today, so credit risk. And then Neil as well is subbing for Mary, so he will present the internal audit reports as well as the 2024 internal audit internal assessment. And then we'll be asking your approval for the fiscal 25 second quarter audit plan. That's the agenda.
Thank you. Okay. Presentation of the fiscal year 2025 first quarter financial report, unaudited, presented by Chuck.
Thank you, Harry. Good afternoon. The first quarter of the fiscal year 2025 financial.
We have to get the volume a little louder.
I'm sorry, say it again.
The volume was low, Chuck. Can you bring
it? I'm sorry.
Please a little closer to your mouth. Okay.
The first quarter, how's this?
Much better.
Okay. The first quarter of the fiscal year 2025 financials covered the period November 1st, 2024 through January 31st, 2025. As of the end of the first quarter, revenues exceed expenses by $149 million compared with the same period in fiscal year 2024 when net income was $238.3 million. The $89.2 million decrease was primarily due to the recapture of a smaller portion of the unrealized loss on the investment portfolio this quarter compared to the same quarter last year. Operating revenues for this period were $239.5 million compared to $220.9 million during the same period last year. Interest income on mortgage loans, the largest component of operating revenues, totaled $219 million, an increase of $27.8 million, or 14.6% from a year ago. Non-operating revenue was $53.8 million compared to $146.3 million a year ago. The $92.5 million decrease was due to a smaller fair value improvement of $2.3 million this quarter compared to an improvement of $106.6 million in the same quarter last year. Realized investment earnings was $46.9 million, an increase of $10 million. Operating expenses were $144.2 million, an increase of $15.3 million, primarily related to the $13.9 million increase in bond interest expense due to the continuing elevated interest rate environment. Total assets were at $29.5 billion, an increase of $739.6 million, or 2.6% from fiscal year end. The increase was primarily due to normal growth of the corporation's mortgage portfolio. The mortgage portfolio, net of conduit loans, increased by a net of $384.4 million to $22.9 billion, accounting for approximately 77.6% of total assets. The 90-day delinquency rate was around 3% this quarter and still performing relatively well. In past meeting, we have reported on the 30-day delinquency rate. However, with the mortgage payments still coming in at that time, we think the 90-day delinquency rate is a better indicator of how the portfolio is performing. Total liability were $24.5 billion, a net increase of $590.5 million, or 2.5% from fiscal year end 2024. Bonds and debt obligations, excluding conduit debt, increased by a net of $127.3 million. New issuances were at $428.9 million, while principal repayments total $303.2 million. Payable to the City of New York increased by $568.2 million, primarily due to the receipts of grant funds to make mortgage loans on behalf of HPD under Section 661 of the Private Housing Finance Law. Net position at the end of the first quarter was $5 billion, up by $149 million from fiscal year end 2024. This concludes my remarks. Any questions?
You. You have the next item, the debt report.
Thank you. Well, this is the debt report is as of the last report presented to the audit committee was as of December 31st, 2024. This time, the corporation did not issue any bonds. The corporation redeemed $122.4 million of bonds in one series of open resolution bonds. The corporation's debt outstanding as of February 28th. Approximately $17.1 billion. Corporation statutory debt capacity is $19 billion. Any questions?
Any none? You can then continue with the investment report.
Corporation investment report is as of March 19, 2025. Funds under management total $7.3 billion. And this report reflects routine investment activity.
Questions? There being none, we'll go on to credit risk.
Before you is dated February 28th, 2025. Previous report to the audit committee was dated December 31st, 2024. There were no new approved counterparties, and there was one rating agency action of note subsequent to the date of this report. On March 12th, Moody's upgraded five-star bag one notch to BA1 from BA2 and assigned a positive outlook. In its upgrade, Moody's cited the material steps Flagstar has taken in the past year to strengthen its risk governance and infrastructure and improve its capital and reserve position. HGC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures being with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo exposure primarily in the form of construction letters of credit, covering 20 projects and 6 interest rate hedges. Investments rated AA or higher were 42% of total investments versus 45% at the last report. And investments rated BBB and lower or not rated were 40% of total investments versus 39% at the last report. All investments rated BBB and lower or not rated are fully collateralized by Federal Home Loan Bank municipal letters of credit and or U.S. Treasuries and agency securities. The weighted average maturity of the investment portfolio was 1.7 years versus 1.8 years at the last report. HTC's exposure to liquidity providers was approximately $788 million, and interest rate hedges outstanding totaled approximately $1.8 billion. Are there any questions?
This might be broader. It's broader than just investing, but I'm not even sure how to say this. So with all the volatility that's going on, do you have to sort of look at relationships? Are you concerned about external country banking relationships? It's not a lot, but and or other the impact, for example, of tariffs, construction material, and a host of things like that. I know it's all just starting. No one knows how long it's going to last. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know all of that, but I don't know what goes through your head.
Sure. So on the investment side, Ellen, do you want to talk a little bit about?
So the investment side, we have all the banks we deal with, We do have a federal home rule that we lock on, municipal that is credit. So we feel we're covered. I mean, we've seen volatility before. The banks at this time haven't indicated that they're reducing their rates this fall. So they usually go with when the Fed moves. That's when we see the rates in the money market accounts. Our securities, so we have a lot of liquidity and we have a lot of securities that we're holding on to. So the mark to market may change, but some of those are lower at a lower interest rate, so we held on to them when rates were a little bit lower. So, you know, there may be some changes in our mark to market, but we don't expect it to be that much of an impact because we've been investing shorter. And we have, repo has been a very good rate. So we've been using repo just overnight. Again, that's collateralized. So I think on the investment side, we're not too concerned. We do watch for news all the time about any of the banks. We had set limits with the whole signature, volatility last year. You know, we have a limit of for each bank that we hold money with, and we balance that out better. We also said instead of collateralized securities, they need to have that letter of credit because we had talked to the Federal Home Loan to get that money.
And then on the credit side, Mary and Tricia constantly monitor our exposure to the different banks, constantly monitor the ratings and concentration. So we definitely are tracking that on the development side. So definitely thinking of what the impacts of tariffs is going to be. I think it's on the new stuff, it's just going to make it more expensive. And we are having conversations with HPD and with NYCHA on what that impact is. And the unfortunate part of this is the impact is on subsidy, which means it's like the money is just not going to get as far. So there could be in the long term, a potential, you can't get as many deals done. So that is like one thing we're watching for, but we're not just taking it, tariffs are there and everything is automatically expensive. We are in conversations with HPD about, how we can look at things as they're coming in so that we're actually reviewing and understand what the impact is and can, if there is anything that we can do proactively to fix. On the existing construction loans, we do have contingency. So many of the deals do buy their material ahead of time. So you're kind of covered already. For deals that are not and in overruns, we do have contingencies and reserves that are available for cost overruns, including overruns on materials. So right now, we haven't been hearing anything. I think we're going with the fact that we do conservatively underwrite. I think if there is a real impact on a specific deal, they will come back to us and we will have the conversation with them at that point in time, as we've done. And, if there needs to be some action that we need to bring back to the board, we will. So I think for now, we're wait and see on the existing and then conversations about how to deal for the next round of deals that are coming up. How do we deal with that in the underwriting budgets?
Yeah. I guess concern about with Fannie Mae or Federal Home Bank Board, Doge sticking their nose in.
So on the HUD, we're also monitoring what any potential layoffs do mean for the, it's going to have a direct impact on the staffing. We do a lot of work with them on the NYCHA Pact portfolio. Obviously, there's all kinds of approvals necessary from HUD, but we also have a large mortgage, FHA risk share is a large mortgage insurer for HDC and our deals. So I think to date, the connections and the relationships that we have are still there. And we are in direct touch. And I would say they've been responsive to, if you ask them point blank, they're obviously not saying much, right? But the fact that they're there and are responsive to what we need, I think that definitely has been helpful. And then on the GSE front, I think it is a little bit of a watch and wait. Obviously the chair, their boards have been replaced and their leadership has been replaced. So I think just about every entity is waiting to see what happens there, whether, there is going to be privatization. I don't think it'll happen overnight, but we're kind of waiting and seeing what the impact would be. So, yeah.
Next item is the internal audit report.
Thank you. Since the last report to the audit committee, internal audit projects completed. The continuous monitoring of investments as for servicing and the global internal audit standards performance assessment. Starting with investments, we continuously monitor investment portfolio throughout the year, ensure the portfolio complies with all aspects guidelines, and to determine whether investments were accurately reported on custodial bank statements. We found that the investment portfolio complied with all aspects of HTC's investment guidelines. Additionally, the investment portfolio was supported by custodial bank statements and regularly reconciled. Internal controls include segregation of duties, investment guidelines that are reviewed and approved each year by the audit committee, daily mark-to-market, monthly reconciliation, quarterly reports to the audit committee, and various reviews by the credit risk and internal audit departments. Moving to escrow servicing, our objectives were to evaluate the adequacy of controls over the escrow servicing process, ensure that escrow funds are managed with optimal accuracy and compliance, and ensure that each of the escrow funds are being escrowed effectively and efficiently with the loan servicing division. Upon completion of this audit, we noted no matters involving internal controls and its operation that were considered to be weaknesses. We found that key aspects of the escrow servicing process were completed properly, as guided by HTC's escrow servicing policies and procedures. Finally, internal audit performed an assessment of HTC's conformance with the revised global internal audit standards that became effective earlier this year. If the assessment found that the internal audit department generally aligns with the updated standards, demonstrating strong adherence to key principles such as integrity, objectivity, and competency. Two areas for improvement were cited, and an action plan has been developed to address these two areas for improvement. Are there any questions?
There were only two items that partially conform.
Yeah. So one is like a strategy document that we're developing right now. So that's good. That's kind of in conjunction with our risk assessment process that we do every year. So that's a process that we're building. As well as errors and omissions, which is something that we develop a policy around. So everything is a work process at this point and how we're going to address those two concerns.
Okay. Thank you. And next to the internal audit, internal assessment.
Thank you. The authoritative guidance from the Institute of Internal Auditors recommends organizations conduct an annual assessment of its internal audit function. This annual internal assessment is quality assurance and improvement program as dictated by the IAA and helps to ensure that HTC's internal audit function operates effectively. The report before you outlines the structure and activities of the internal audit function for calendar year 2024, including all audits completed, internal audit projects and initiatives, governance and oversight activities, and updates regarding employee development and ongoing training that helps to ensure staff remains current on all internal audit best practices. Are there any questions?
Okay, there being none. The approval of the fiscal year 2025 second quarter audit plan.
Thank you again. I'm pleased to present the proposed internal audit plan for the second quarter of 2025. The proposed projects include four advisory projects, continuous monitoring of HTC's investment portfolio on employee expenses, and ongoing work spearheading the PII working group and the AI working group. If there are no questions, members of the audit committee, the second quarter of 2025 internal audit plan.
Do I have a motion?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. Finally, is there any other business? Being no other business, I would like to call a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? There being none, the motion carries, and the meeting is now adjourned.